our troop and our musicians and all the people that help usher us into the presence of God. I thank God for all of those who have prayed and worshiped. And as we do that, we enter his gates. And I mean, it opens. The dynamic opens and people walk into invisible things and have access to all that God has to offer. And that's the kind of place we are in today. We are at Bethel. We are at a place where the angels of God are ascending and descending. And God is at the top of that staircase. And everything in the kingdom is available today. Every promise in the book is available today. And you don't have anything in your life going on today that God is not able to lay his hand on it and to help you with it and to strengthen. And God has an answer for every question. He has a remedy for every problem. If you believe that and know that to be true, give God a little bit of praise right now. Hallelujah. Is there a testimony in the house? Has God been your way maker and your healer and your provider? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And it is so good to be a part of the community of God's people. And we're looking forward to great things today. We're so glad to have Brother Jacob Phillips with us. And he was with us a few months ago. And we had a wonderful time of revival. He's been stirring up trouble. He's a troublemaker. He's been stirring up trouble all over the country. And he tends to like it, and people tend to like him doing it. And you might think, well, that's a problem, isn't it, stirring up things? No, no, no. We're right up in the middle of that idea and that conversation right now. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay like you are. You can't stay in the circle of understanding that you're in right now, because every day brings a new challenge and a new possibility, and we need to be stirred, and we need to be shaken, and we need to hear from God, and we need tomorrow's vision and wisdom, and we need a God who can chart our path for us. And he's always used preachers, and isn't it great to have a preacher in the house today? And Brother Phillips, we're delighted that you're here. We want you to come and take your liberty, and would you just point at him right now and give him a charge and just say, preach to me, preacher.
Would you clap your hands unto the Lord, magnify Jesus right now? Oh, come on, would you lift your voice and give him a high praise? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, come on, I think we can do a little bit better than that. He's the God that created heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to make a way where there is no way. He's God. He's able. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house on a Sunday morning? Amen. I'm so delighted to be here. If you have your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7 and verse 3. And while you're turning there, let me say again what an honor it is to be at New Life Church in Birmingham. I did not know Bishop Sutton that well last time I was here, but over the course of dining and sitting and talking and all of that stuff, it's very easy, and this church knows that without a doubt, to fall in love with this great man and his family. Amen. Love friend, Brother Collins. Amen. There's so many, I'm telling you, you ain't got no excuse. You're going to stand before God and say, well, my leadership, he's going to laugh at you. Because this church has some of the best leadership in Pentecost. And I appreciate them, what he stands for. Amen, 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 amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why set we here until we die? God will help us today. I want to preach simply this, walking in weakness. Walking in weakness. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands to heaven and asking God that he would move in this place? Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. There's no one like you in heaven or on earth. You're the first, you're the last. You are the everlasting, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the Almighty. God, I'm asking you, Lord, right now to have your way in this house today. We can't make it without you. We can't breathe without you. We can't move without you. God, it's in you that we have our being, and we're asking you, Lord, right now to speak to us in this house today. Would you fill somebody with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Would you change somebody's life? God, would you change someone's destiny? Would you help us today? In Jesus' name we pray. And one more time, would you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise? And one more time, would you lift your voice and shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Amen, amen. You may be seated as long as you promise to help me preach today. Amen. The preset of the story begins as a famine is in the land, and God sends a man of God, a prophet of God, at a time when all hope is lost, and he sends him to prophesy and say unto God's people, tomorrow about this time. You ought to grab somebody by the hand and tell them tomorrow about this time. He said, tomorrow about this time, this famine that you are experiencing is going to be over. This trial that you are in right now, tomorrow, about this time, will come to an end. I'm telling you that it is very easy in a time of famine to get into a place to where we wonder if God is even hearing our prayer. I know it's Sunday morning, but I feel like preaching like it's Sunday night today. It's very easy when we get in a time of famine to say, where are you, God? I don't see you. I don't feel you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I am experiencing some of the greatest trial that I have ever been in. But it seems to me that it's just like God, that in the last moment, in the very nick of time, he always shows up and says, tomorrow about this time, you're going to see a miracle like you never could have imagined. I came with a word for God for somebody in here today to tell you tomorrow about this time. I don't know what it is that you've been carrying it around. I don't know how bad it's been. I don't know how heavy the load has been, but I can tell you this. God told me to tell you that tomorrow about, you get ready for a tomorrow about this time blessing. You better get ready for a tomorrow about this time miracle. They said they'd never come. They said they didn't want anything to do with you, but tomorrow about this time, God's going to put your family back together. You may be looking at bills stacked up on the table, but I come to tell somebody today, tomorrow about this time, God's going to work a miracle. God's going to make a way. I'm trying to move on right now, but I feel this in my spirit. Somebody needs to get a hold of some faith and stop doubting and come to the house of the Lord and say, I know who he is. He's a God that don't change. And if he's ever healed, if he's ever delivered, if he's ever made a way, he's going to do it again.
Praise God. Which brings us to our scripture text. I'm not preaching yet. Hallelujah. The Bible says that there were four leprous men sitting at the gate. This ain't going to be deep today, but I feel it in my heart. Four leprous men, four men. Something I notice in this passage is that the writer never mentions their name, but rather labels them by their condition. Which is like a lot of us coming to church today. Society labels us. Our family labels us. The adversary labels us. We label ourselves. Just, the Bible never said it was Jim and Bob and Billy. I don't know what their names were. It just says that four weak, leprous men said one to another, why sit we here until we die? It's amazing to me how the enemy can trick us and deceive us into believing that we don't have what we have. I am totally 100% convinced that the Achilles heel of the apostolic church is we don't realize what we possess.
I am convinced that the problem with a lot of saints is the reason they come to church and they struggle from Sunday to Wednesday is they don't know what's really have a revelation of what's living on the inside of them. But rather they allow the enemy to label them by the condition that they are in. You're weak. You're feeble. You're used to be a liar. You used to be an adulterer. But can I tell you that that was then and this is now? And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are new creatures in Christ. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm telling somebody that came into this church on a Sunday morning and the devil has you convinced that you don't have anything. And the devil has you convinced that you are nothing, but you hear me today. Jesus died for you in your sinful state so that you could be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power, and so you could realize I am a son, I am a daughter, I have power after the Holy Ghost came upon me. I'm not labeled by my condition. That's not who I am. People might see me as a mess, but God sees me as a message in the making. People might see me as all washed up, but when God sees me, he looks at something that's been washed clean. Man might say they're junk, and he may label me by that, but God looks at me and says, what man is junk is my treasure, because I'm able to take a sinner. I'm able to take somebody wretched and undone and that's been labeled by their condition, bring them into the body of Christ and make them something beautiful. Yeah. So these weak, feeble men made it up in their mind, why set we here until we die? I feel this in the Holy Ghost today. Bishop Sutton just confirmed everything. I'm going to get to the good stuff here in a minute, but I'm telling you, it blows my mind the amount of people that come to church and just stay in the same place. Oh, I'm about to lose some of you right now. I'm fixing to stir up some of that trouble you was just talking about. The Bible gives us, it tells us a commentary of these men's conversation. They said, if we go back into the city, there's a famine there. So let me just stop and say, if we go back, there's famine. Somebody say famine. Amen. Don't you remember why you came to God? And it's amazing to me that what happens when people come to God and they get in church and they start talking in tongues and they start running the aisles and the new wears off of it, the first thing they start doing after the first trial really hits them real hard is to say, boy, we had it good back there in Egypt. Would to God we never let you had it better in bondage. You had it better crying yourself to sleep every night. You had it better when you didn't have the joy of the Lord that our brother was talking about earlier. You had it better when you were depressed and oppressed, and every day you got up, it was just more of that. That was why you came to God in the first place, because you were broken and you were hurting. And now, because you've got a little bit of complacency in your spirit, you're going to look at God and say, would to God I went back to that. What is wrong with you? I come to tell you, my best day living for the devil ain't nothing even close to being as my worst day living for God. I may still have to fight depression, but I got depression knowing I got the Holy Ghost. I may still have to cry myself to sleep tonight, but I know that joy is coming in the morning. At the end of the day, I still got God. And if I've got God, that is enough. If I've got... I'm telling somebody today, you need to stop being dormant and stop looking back and say, why sit we here till we die? I'm not going back to captivity. I'm not going back to bondage. I'm not going back to sin. I'm not going back to addiction. God set me free, and God forbid I walk back to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. When he set me free, he did it right. He gave me power to live right. He gave me power to overcome. He gave me power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He gave me power. Hallelujah. It bugs me, Bishop Sutton, when people get complacent. Because being complacent will cause you to either want to go back to where you came from or just sit on an apostolic pew and exist. Oh, I'm coming for you this morning. Being complacent, you can still be apostolic and pay your tithes And you can still come to church. You don't even have to join the church. You just worship when they worship, clap when they clap. And when they sing "This Means War," if you just tap your feet a little bit, then you'll be all right. But let me tell you something. If you stay right there, you're going to die right there. You're not hearing me right. I'm telling you, you can't stay doing the same thing you've always done and expect to get a bigger miracle. You can't stay in the same place you've always been and expect God to save your family and expect deliverance and power of the Holy Ghost to move through your life. You can't keep doing the same thing you've always been doing and expect God to do bigger things for you than he's ever done before. Why sit we here until we die? Do you know that there are souls out there that are dying and going to hell, and the only option they have is this apostolic church for somebody to realize I've got a purpose, and I can't just sit here and be a pew warmer. I can't just sit here and be fed all the time, but I've got to put my shoulder to the plow. I can't be complacent. I got to do something for God. I got to step out and believe that God is working on my side. I've got to stand up and put a sword in my hand and go to war and make up in my mind, I will not die sitting on an apostolic pew. If I die, I'm dying on the battlefield. If I die, I'm dying with every demon that I can take with me. I'm going to make sure I'm a soldier. I'm a warrior. You see, but this is the attitude we got. Let's just let Jesus do it. Am I doing all right this morning? Let's let God be God. Let Jesus fix it. Let him make a way where there is no way. I believe that God is able to do anything, but I also believe that God works through the hands of his people. You see, Jesus said, I can raise Lazarus, but you got to roll away the stone. I can feed the 5,000, but you got to give me the fish and the loaves. I can raise the lame man, but you got to tear the roof off. I can fill your nets, but you got to cast them on the other side of the ship. You see, God's looking for somebody that'll get involved with their own miracle. You can't just sit back in your apostolic lazy boy and expect to become a miracle magnet that when I lift my hands, everything's just coming to me. Let me tell you something. Just because it belongs to you does not mean that it's coming to you. You got to get up, put your war clothes on, make up in your, that's my miracle, that's my family, that's my revival, and I'll be John Brown Jr. if I'm going to let any devil in hell keep me from what God gave me. It's not coming to me right now. I'm going to get up and go get it. I'm not going to sit here until I die. I'm going to get up. I'm going to move. I'm going to expect. I'm going to war. My Lord, help me, Jesus. Here I go stirring up more trouble. It amazes me how people have come to church and gripe and want to talk to Bishop Sutton or sit down and have another 3-hour counseling session when you ain't done what he told you to do the first time. How you doing? Boy, that's good preaching right there. Want to come to church, gripe and complain. I tried that tithing business and it ain't working. I tried worship and it ain't working. And you only tried it for 2 weeks. And a little trouble comes your way. And all of a sudden, you moved off the front row to the back row. What happened, baby? I thought you was putting your best foot forward. See, just because it doesn't happen right now doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. You see, God's ways are not our ways. God don't think like you think. God don't work like you work. God don't move like you move. And just because it don't happen the way you think it should happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen, friend. The only thing that's in that equation that's got to have something to do with you is you got to make up in your mind, though he slay me, I will trust him. I'm not going to sit here until I die. If I,
Lord, I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on expecting. I'm going to keep on worshiping. Bad days, good days, so-so days, it don't matter to me. I'm a worshiper. I'm a giver. I'm going to make sure I'm doing everything that I can do to get to the other side.
But preacher, you don't, my Lord, help me, Jesus. You don't know how surrounded I am. Well, let's ask David about it. David come back from fighting a battle to Ziklag to find out he lost a battle he didn't even know he was fighting. I call that pressed on every side. The enemy snuck in the back door. Oh, somebody's feeling what I'm preaching right now. You fight the devil on one front, and the next thing you know, you turn around, and he's done took everything you got. And the Bible says that David was distressed. That's just old English way of saying David was stressed out. How many's ever been stressed out? And the ones that didn't lift their hands, they lying. This altar's now open. You can repent. David is distressed because the Bible says that even his own friends have talked about killing him. It ain't bad enough that the devil wants to kill me. Now my own friends are turning against me. He was stressed, and eventually David snapped. You know people, and I do too. Sir, you better not look at your wife right now. That when they had enough, that bottom lip starts quivering. Tears start welling up in their eyes. They get that crazy look, like I'm fitting to snatch somebody's head off. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. David snapped, and the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know why encouraging yourself is so vital? Because nobody knows what you need to hear like you know what you need to hear. You ever been to church and it felt like the preacher preached to everybody but to you? Feels like everybody got a blessing but you? Everybody got a miracle but you? He said, touch your neighbor, and nobody touched you. I'm all alone. Here I am, and where is God in the middle of all this? And David said, I encouraged myself. I didn't need somebody to tell me it was going to be all right. I looked at myself and said it was going to be all right. I'm going to tell you something. When you get that kind of attitude, it doesn't matter how many Philistines come against you. The pastor can walk by you and not shake your hand every week for a month, and it won't matter to you because you got a made-up mind that it doesn't matter what the Philistines bring against me. I'm going to stand up and encourage myself in the Lord. When you learn how to encourage yourself, you can go home and look at the mirror, and even though depression is hitting you on every side, you can say, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and that though weeping may last for a night, joy, 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 unspeakable joy, it's coming in the morning. God, I'm telling you today, you need to understand, you can't sit where you are. You got to get a spirit of David on you that says, I'm going to pursue, I'm going to overtake all, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm in the battle, I'm in the fire, I'm in the flood, but I've got a warrior mindset. I'm going to fight, I'm going to overtake. I really like this. He asked the Lord, he said, what should we do? And God said, pursue. So here we go again. It's likened to these four leper men. You got to do something. Tell somebody, say, you got to do something. You got to do something. You want revival? Oh, I'm preaching good now. You keep expecting Bishop Sutton to preach such a good message that it gets your family when you won't even get them here. How he gonna preach to them if they ain't here? You got to do something. You keep expecting the miracle working power of God to just flow through your life. But let me tell you something. You gotta do something. Pursue, for ye shall overtake. Oh, you're gonna recover it all if you get up and do something. Can you get me Luke chapter 17 and verse 14? Can we do that? We see that there is a man named Jesus. You ever met him? He's a really cool guy. You need to get to know him. He's working miracles. He's God Almighty. He's God manifest in the flesh. And it just so happens that people are hearing about it. And so this man named Jesus, that is a miracle worker, he opens blind eyes. He cleanses lepers. This is what Jesus does for a living. And they hear about him. And Luke 17 and 14. Can you get that for me? Is that up there? Luke 17 and 14. Thank you, brother. I'm sorry. I should have got that to you earlier. But Jesus, he's working. He's moving. He's healing. He's delivering. And these 10 lepers hear about what Jesus is doing. They hear about how mighty he is, how powerful he is. And so they came to him and they started looking and they said, Jesus, would you heal us? Now, this is the greatest miracle worker that's ever walked in shoe leather. I mean, if anybody can do a miracle, who can do a miracle? Jesus is the guy. That's why the crowds would just follow him everywhere that he went. And Jesus is so powerful that he looks at one man and says, you need to go home because your servant's already healed because of your faith. All he's got to do is speak the word. Y'all still with me today? But this is what he does for these men. And I believe he does it not only for them, but to show us something. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, he could have just said, you're healed. Am I in the book? He could have just said, be cleansed. And all the leprosy, boom, gone, dried up. But the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. Nothing happened until they take the first step. The greatest miracle worker that's ever lived looked at them. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they're looking at themselves saying, but it's still there. But the moment they began to move, they began to be cleansed. I'm telling you today that you can't sit here until you die. That your miracle is dependent on what you do. Your miracle is dependent on when you move. Your miracle is dependent on how quick you get it through your head. That I can't just sit here and expect God to do everything for me. I've got to get up and move towards the miracle. I've got to get up and move towards the bread. As they went, can I tell you that as you move this morning, that problem you've been praying about, it's going to start turning around. As you move, that family member you've been praying for, they're going to start feeling conviction. As you begin to move, that miracle in your finance is going to start happening. As they went, something began. I'm telling you something. You can't wait until the water is calm, Peter. You got to step out in the middle of the storm and begin to walk. You got to move in the middle of the detriment. You got to move in the middle of the storm. You got to move in the middle of the mess. You got to figure out in your mind, nothing's going to happen until I move. Nothing's going to move until I move. There's not going to be a miracle until I move. I'm telling somebody today, you got to walk through the weakness. Walk through the pain. Walk through the heartache. Walk through all the hell you're fighting. Get up and move. As they went, they were cleansed. I'm just going to tell you something. I think I've got God figured out a little bit. I ain't got a lot of him figured out, but I got him figured out a little bit. You think he's going to bless somebody that's sitting there like a bump on a log when he's got somebody over there doing jumping jacks in church? If he's only got one miracle, my God, I wish you'd come to church every Sunday and Wednesday night thinking that God only had one miracle and he was going to give it to the one that moved the most. Remember when you was in kindergarten, pick me, pick me, pick me. My God, what kind of church would we have if we came to church with that kind of expectancy? My Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm about to come apart at the seams right now. I can just imagine what would happen if we all came and said, God's only going to give it to one, and I'm going to be the wildest. I'm going to let God know, I want the miracle. I want the blessing. I want the deliverance. I want the breakthrough. I want everything that God has got. It's only coming when you figure out how to get up and how to move. Walk through your weakness. Walk through your pain. Walk through the depression. Get up and walk. When you musicians come, I'm almost done. When you learn how to walk through weakness, then you can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know why it's not going to prosper? Because it doesn't matter how weak I am, I can still move. I'm telling you, the devil does everything that he can to try to deceive us. I told you this wasn't going to be deep today, but this is what I felt in the Holy Ghost. Try to deceive us. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, I think it's verse 8, that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And so he said to his men, he said, hey, let's deal wisely with them. Pre-adventure, that somebody comes against us and they get up and leave. And we look at that and we say, well, the devil was doing everything he could to try to stop them. And so he deceived them. But I want you to look at the picture, in the full picture. Let's put it that way. Pharaoh said, what are we going to do if they just get up and decide to leave? You know what that tells me? The devil knows you can walk out of that bondage anytime you get good and ready. I'm feeling a whole lot like an apostolic preacher right now. I'm going to tell somebody today that came to a church on Sunday morning in Birmingham, Alabama, and you felt weighted down by the whole world. Can I tell you something? The reason you've been fighting all the hell you've been fighting is because the devil's trying to deceive you, because he knows that the moment you walk into an apostolic church and throw up your hands and begin to cry Jesus, that you can leave that bondage anytime you get ready. Pharaoh said, I got to do something. I got to trick them. I got to get them to a place where they don't understand who they are and what they possess. Because if they ever figure out what kind of power they have, they're going to leave Egypt. If they ever figure, they're just slaves, but they're walking in weakness. They've been living their life for another man, but they're walking in weakness. They've been walking around building bricks and mortar, but they're walking in weakness. I'm telling somebody today, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Walk through that pain. Walk through the divorce. Walk through the depression. Get up and walk. Let me tell you something. We are quick to be cynical. Oh, don't look at me like that. You know you are. Well, look at them. Look at the bondage they're dealing with. But let me let you in on a little secret today. Bondage is not always a sign of weakness. Sometimes bondage is a sign. It's a mark that the devil puts on somebody that he's really afraid of. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I said bondage is a sign of a mark that the devil puts on somebody that he's really afraid of. Because if they ever discover their potential, they're going to tear my kingdom down. So I need to put them in bondage so that they understand how weak they are. But when Israel ever figured out how to walk through the bondage, you look in the next thing, you turn around, and they went from a nomadic culture of wanderers to a nation of conquering warriors, because they figured out, I know who I am. It took us 40 years of walking around in the desert, but I figured out who I am, and I figured out what I got living on the inside, and I figured out that if God be for me, who can be against me? And I figured out that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And even
struggles. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I can't do it on my own. But when I say Jesus, mountains begin to move. When I say Jesus, armies begin to fall. When I say Jesus, all of my weakness is turned around, and it begins to come power and authority of the Holy Ghost, because now God is working in us.
I'm going to say this and I'm done. This is how I was raised, Bishop Sutton. I'm not running from nothing. I'm full. I did that 23andMe deal, and it come back 100% redneck. They said I had about 5% of bulldog. You ain't gonna back me up. And when I see this and I read this text, I know I didn't read the whole text because it's so long. Y'all just take my word for it. Go home and read it today. I'll give you some homework, all right? When I read this text, the Bible says that the Assyrians had besieged the camp. And these four leprous men get up and begin to walk. Now, the Assyrians at this point in time, they're one of the greatest armies there is. You don't push the Assyrians around. They have redneck and have bulldog. But the Bible says that when four leprous men, it don't take a whole lot. Just four men that realize that I'm weak, but I can still walk. When they begin to walk, that the Assyrians heard it, and they got up and run the other way. Now, why would an army run from another army? This is what you've been training for. I guarantee you, you don't hire a firefighter that when the fire bell goes off, he gets in his bed and pulls the cover over his head. That's not the guy I want working in the fire department in my city. Armies don't run from other armies. But your Bible says that they heard the army of the Lord. Which means to me that there is a distinguished sound between a regular army and an army of weak men that are just walking. And when God gets involved, the devil doesn't hear just an army, but he hears the army of the Lord. I'm telling you, when you walk in your weakness, he doesn't see you. He doesn't see new life, but he sees the army of the Lord. He sees the army of God's host. And he hears a sound. It sounds like an army. It sounds like a conquering force. It sounds like a people that have made up in their mind, we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to walk through the weakness, and we're going to overcome. We shall overcome. Now, how many got problems? If you didn't get anything else I said, then get this. Start walking. If you got problems, don't come. My Lord, help me, Jesus. Here I go stirring up trouble again. Don't come tonight saying, Brother Phillips is a false prophet. He told me that if I and you ain't done it yet, my God, I'm telling you, you need to make up in your, I'm walking through my weakness. I'm walking through my test. I'm going to let the sound that comes out of me be the sound of the army of the Lord. When the devil hears me, he's going to hear a battle cry. When the devil hears me coming, hears me coming full force. I'm coming with everything I got. I'm telling somebody today, you ought to step out of your pew and walk through your weakness. Praise through your weakness. Shout through your weakness. Dance through your weakness. I don't know what it is that you have need of, but I'm telling you, when you begin to walk, the miracle starts coming towards you. When you begin to walk, the breakthrough is opened up. Somebody ought to praise him.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
that's it. Don't you just put your hands together and now lift your voice and shout. Come on, new life. God's looking for a warrior that'll walk in their weakness. God's looking for somebody that has a made up in their mind. I'm gonna make it. I'm coming out.
Now the Bible tells us, I don't mean to be redundant, but there were four. Somebody shout four. Four leprous men. I don't have anything deep to tell you, but what I do feel in the Holy Ghost, I was standing out there right just a moment ago, find you three people. Jesus, I'm telling you, the devil's scared right now. Four leprous men. Find three people. It don't matter if you got more than three, but find at least three. And get them by the hand. You know what we've been to do? We've been to walk. If all you can do is pick up one foot a half inch off the ground and put it back down, then baby, pick them up and do that shuffle. But I'm telling you right now, as you begin to walk, what's going on in your neighbor's life, God's giving. You praising for what God's doing for them, and they gonna praise for what God's gonna do for you. And God is gonna give new life some victory on a Sunday morning. You thought you was just coming to church to hear a little message, but I'm telling you, God showed up on a Sunday morning to bring you out of the weakness, to bring you out of the storm, to bring you out of the death. Walk, 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 walk through that window.
Something happens when I call your name. 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 Something happens when I call your name.
Right now, bless it. Hey, we praise you, oh God. Praise God. In this altar atmosphere, reach over, lay your hand on somebody and talk in tongues right now. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Just let God pray a prayer. Hallelujah. Press into it. Give it some energy. Give it some strength. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Ah, hallelujah. That's what you're doing right now. You're walking. You're walking in the Spirit. You're moving into the presence. You're letting God have His way. Yeah.
somebody's in a vein. Just let that go. Just let that go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that flow. Let that Holy Ghost have his way. Praise God. Turn to that one that you just prayed for and tell him, let it be as God has said. Yeah. Praise God. Appreciate so much the word of God in the house this morning. On your way out, you want to make sure that you get a flyer and invite somebody. You're going to meet somebody today. Invite a neighbor or a friend or somebody at a local business to come to church tonight. And we're also going to have Brother Phillips on Wednesday night this week. And so just invite somebody to come and let's stir up some trouble together. Let's have a move of God in this house, all right? We're going to come back tonight, 6 o'clock for prayer and an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you.